From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll get to the answer here about Fields and when you know whether he's going to be great or... Because Nagy was asked that question too today. Abdul tweets, at Waddle and Sylvie, at TWaddle87, says, come on, Waddle.
Yeah.
He says, you definitely did more for the Bears on the field than Eddie Jackson. This ain't no kissing butt. That's honesty. Darren says, double nickel is on the Hall of Fame ballot. Jackson will never make it there. All Bears fans should be offended. Jackson's play is already insulting. Play the game and STFU.
I think picking a fight, so to speak, a social media fight with a guy with the resume of Lance Briggs ain't going to do you any good. It just isn't. And it, as I said, the thing that, like, from the chair I sit in and have, you know, having done this since, you know, in some parts while I was still playing in 93 and 94, like, I get when athletes get pissed at commentators when they go over the line and they start making personal shots at them and are irresponsible in some of the criticism on a personal front. Lance didn't do that. Like, so I don't see why.
Right.
Listen, if I dropped an important pass on third down and I read in the paper the next day that I cost the team an opportunity to convert a third down and ultimately it led to us losing to the Minnesota Vikings, that's fair criticism. If you read in the paper, that no good SOB was, you know, out all night long and didn't show up and is lazy and this is just a product of his poor work habits without...
Right.
That's out of bounds. Lance didn't do that. Lance just gave you the educated opinion of a guy who is, like you said, on a Hall of Fame ballot. You know the number of guys that are getting on the Hall of Fame?
Not
very many.
No. Fabian says Jackson was able to get interceptions because he was playing with Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, and Adrian Amos in 2018. He became more pedestrian as Amos and Callahan left. Now with Fuller gone, he has no one to cover him if he misses a tackle.
Well,
you know, Fabian, one point that he brings up too is something I've always been a fan of with Kyle Fuller and why I always thought that Carmen's angst about us saying that why'd they get rid of Kyle Fuller. Fuller came up and he played the run. Fuller
yes,
would
no
play
doubt.
Up and make tackles.
Yes. And trust me, opposing teams, offensive coordinators knew that and game planned accordingly. Don't also forget the important part that pass rush played in 2018. If you go back and look at the numbers from 2018 to 2019, the number of sacks went way down. And sacks aren't
the pressures.
Exactly. It's not just the sacks, but it's the pressures. And I thought that the defensive front seven was so damn good at getting to the opposing team and creating havoc that it created a lot of opportunities for everyone in that secondary. Balls would be up for grabs because quarterbacks were being harassed.
Right.
And they were being forced to throw the ball under duress. So that entire secondary, I thought, was very good. And they were the direct beneficiaries of what was being done by the defensive line.
Now, that question that the caller had for you about Fields, whether you knew a couple of years in that Mitch was not going to be good no matter who his coach was, at least not be great. He wants to know when you're going to know with Fields. Is that what he was asking?
Yeah. I feel very confident that you're talking about different players with different skill sets and guys that have a different arc. I think, you know, again, look at where Mitch came from in North Carolina, was a one-year starter, and then you compare it to what Justin Fields did at Ohio State, playing on the biggest stage under the brightest lights and how well he played under those circumstances. And it's not just that, but then you go and watch his technique and how he handles the situation, how he processes stuff. It ain't perfect right now. But I was just never comfortable with what I saw from Mitch. Mitch always looked like, to me, like the kid growing up that was the best athlete in the neighborhood, so you started him at quarterback. And he just continued to play quarterback at every level because he was the best athlete. And then you get to the collegiate level, and you can't get by just on athletic ability. You still have to have a knack for that position. So I think that just watching Justin Fields, I just believe he's got a better feel for the position than Mitch ever did. Now, with that said, I don't think anyone really ripped Mitch for the first couple of years.
No, no one.
I mean, everybody was patient. You remember his first year was with John Fox and Dow Loggins, and we really had no offensive weapons the second year he was with Matt Nagy, and we saw some splash plays in the first half of the season, and then teams got wise to what Matt Nagy was doing and what Mitch's skill set was, and then they were able to defend him. But the real criticism for Mitch didn't start until, like, year three. The point I'm making is it was
training camp in 19 when the reporters were saying to us, guys, it doesn't look right. And then it was the first game against the Packers and Bears 100 of 19 coming off the playoff appearance, and you scored three. And then you go to Denver, and you barely score all game, and you kick a field goal to win, but it's still masking all these bad defense.
Yeah, and look, I'm not just overlooking some of the negatives that we've seen from Justin Fields, rookie quarterback. But what I'm saying also is I'm not going to be overly harsh about what I'm seeing. I'll give him the same grace period that we gave Mitch. Nobody really got on Mitch, as you know, we both said, until we started in training camp in his third year. Look, there are some issues. He does hold the ball too long.
Of course.
He does turn bad plays into really bad plays by hanging on to the ball too long. There are also some positives. I think he has poise in the pocket for the most part. I think he's very calm. I think he's got a great arm. I think you'll see him be more accurate down the field as time goes on and he's comfortable with what's around him. I have a lot more hope and confidence in who Justin Fields will be than what I thought Mitch was going to eventually turn into. So, again, I'm not overlooking what I've seen so far. Their numbers speak to a lot of their issues, and some of those issues are quarterback-related because he's a young guy with very little experience. But overall, I feel more confident with what we'll get from Justin Fields than what we saw from Mitch as a Bears quarterback.
I think, did Josh Allen have a lot of problems holding on to the ball
no
too
doubt.
Long? And,
yeah.
he learned how to do it. The thing that I love is that Justin Fields plays great under center and in the pocket. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys who's the, quote, running quarterback and wants to bail right away. He does hold onto the ball too long. There were issues yesterday, but some of his best throws and best drives came when he's under center and throwing from
the
pocket.
Well, he was a pocket passer at Ohio State.
Of course. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. No, I know. I'm not saying that I'm just learning this. I'm saying there's another reason why the good throws still in his, what start is this? This is his second start since they proclaimed it's Justin Fields' time, and his fourth overall?
Well, he started the Cleveland game, and then he started the Detroit game, and then
fourth overall.
This was his fourth start.
And then here's another thing I want to get to. Then we'll get to the calls. 312-332-3776. Yesterday, a little history in Chicago. It was the first championship this city has seen since 2016. Here is the highlight down the stretch, capping off a fantastic fourth quarter comeback at Wintrust Arena. The highlight on ESPN.
Just 16-16 in the regular season. Facing down two single elimination games as a sixth seed, ousting the top-seeded Connecticut Sun in the semis, and now on the brink of their first championship. Griner's three, rebound Parker, she's left alone, mission accomplished, that's it! For the first time in franchise history, the Chicago Sky
listen to that crowd and what a scene at Wintrust. And it was apropos, I tweeted about this, that the ball found Parker. Parker found the ball. And the GOAT was dribbling it out in our hometown, coming home to win it here, to go on this magical postseason run after a regular season that was up and down, and there were some injuries and things like that. They had to win some single elimination series. Candace Parker was going to join us today. Her agent had to call in and said she had prior duties to attend to, and she is expected to join us in the next couple of days, maybe after the parade. So we want to say congratulations
to the Sky.
And what a great Chicago sports moment, and what a run they went.
I think yesterday was kind of a microcosm of the season, wasn't it? I think they were down 9 or 10 after the third period, and then they outscored their opponent 26-11. The Mercury in the fourth period. It was kind of like their season where they struggled and they went up and down and ultimately found their compass and were pointed in the right direction. But it's nice to have a championship in this city.
Did you see that both WNBA and NBA teams who have the biggest blowouts in NBA Finals and WNBA Finals history are the Bulls and the Sky? What the Sky did in Game 3, blowing out the Mercury, and what the Bulls did in, I think it was Game 3, also against the Jazz in 98. I think the Bulls won that game like 99-55. Like, the Sky dominated Game 3, and then they had to come back in Game 4 to win that. But really a cool sight yesterday.
Nice, and remember the NBA tips off for our Chicago Bulls this week.
Wednesday. Can't wait. And I hope other people follow in Candace Parker's footsteps, and they want to come home, and they want to play here. It's been far too many people have said no thanks, and Candace Parker's like, I know I won a championship in LA. I have known I played my whole career here, but it's special for me to come home and to win, and I hope other athletes will follow in her footsteps. William on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, William?
Hey, you know what? I know y'all been saying a lot of good things about Aaron Rodgers today, but I was asking this. What about the offside penalty they didn't call? Because I think when Aaron Rodgers said he owned the Bears, he owned the referees too, you know. Wow. Because that didn't make no sense. How about that face mask he pulled, and they didn't call that either. I mean, how does this guy get away with that? Obviously, they're going to let the rookie get away with it. How did that Aaron Rodgers, if that happened to Aaron Rodgers, that flag would have came out in a heartbeat.
What do you think, Waddle? What about the was it an offsides, and do you fault Justin Fields for throwing it deep, thinking he had a free play?
No, but that's going to come with experience. Like, what a veteran quarterback will do is when he thinks he's got the defender jumping offsides, and I think Aaron Rodgers talked about this after the game, you're the only one that really has the capacity to see whether a flag has been thrown. And he'll learn while he thinks that your eyes, when you think you do that, if you ask Rodgers, he'll say his eyes immediately go to the line judge or the linesman to see whether or not there's a flag on the ground. Now, again, I understand you've got to read a defense. You've got to see what's coming at you. So also knowing that a flag has been thrown is a lot to process. But a veteran quarterback will learn how to do that. I did think it was offsides. I thought it was a bad break for us. It wasn't the most obvious one. It almost looked simultaneous, but it did. I think it looked simultaneous because Mustafa, as soon as he saw the Packer defensive lineman jump, he did what a good center should do when he snapped it. I thought it was a mistake by the refs not to throw the flag. But at the end of the day, it really turned into a punt. It was a third down. So I don't look at the decision that Justin made and really hold that against him. I mean, it was one of those plays that you never, you know, that you don't get back, but I don't think this was a check mark against him. With regard to Aaron Rodgers, look, he has owned this Bears team, regardless of what happened. Mario Edwards, I get it. Aaron Rodgers had his hand on Mario Edwards' face mask. Okay, I get that. He wasn't yanking on it. He was basically trying to separate himself, and once again, Mario Edwards stood over top of him and did something that he needs to know
talk
that
about
he can't
that.
Do any longer.
Let's continue that conversation. The Mario Edwards again, 2 weeks in a row, and whether or not you excuse that in that situation, 312-332-3776. It was a big play. And then I want to get to Brian LaGrange. You'll start, Brian, because he thinks he knows the explanation on why Nagy is talking about the defense for the lack of point scoring, which really confused the two of us and got under our skin. It's Miller time, even on a Monday. Come on out to Finley Dunn's. We're here drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. They've got the best wings in the city. So come on out and enjoy it with us, Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2, and on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller light flow.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Good. Being out on a Monday on a gorgeous fall day with a huge crowd at Finley Dunn's, brought to you by Miller Lite, is really good.
It's nice.
And the good, the bad, the dirty is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Vans Industrial, working safe since 1964. Love those guys. We'll go around the room. Waddle and me, Black and Abdallah, pick one thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty that we experienced, whether it's sports or any other thing this weekend. Waddle, kick us off. What was good?
The good was the performance of the best team currently in the National Football League yesterday, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. They went to Cleveland and beat the crap out of the Browns. 37-14 was your final. Listen, they did it defensively where they took the ball away three times. They held the Browns to 14 points. And then Kyler Murray threw for four touchdowns on just 229 yards, so he was efficient. They ran for 144 yards. That was a totally complete victory over a Browns team that we all thought was on the cusp of maybe, you know, the switch going on. I don't know who the Arizona Cardinals will be at the end of this season, but right now through six games, in my opinion, they're the best team in the league.
It's incredible. I thought that was going to be their spot where they were going to lose.
Too.
Yeah. But Baker Mayfield has the injury. He's not great to begin with.
That game was dominated by the Cardinals from the opening drive. Like, I believe they were up 17-0. In the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and there's a game that I could use as a good, but look, how do you run away from a championship and this isn't your good? Here's the call again from ESPN. It's Chicago's first sports championship since the Cubs won in November of 2016.
Just 16-16 in the regular season. Facing down two single elimination games as a six seed. Ousting the top-seeded Connecticut Sun in the semis, and now on the brink of their first championship. Griner's three. Rebound, Parker. She's left alone. Mission accomplished. That's it. For the first time in franchise history, the Chicago Sky are WNBA champions.
Listen to the roar of that crowd. I mean, and again, the storybook, it's a Chicago storybook with Candace Parker. That she comes home, she's got the ball in her hand, she's going to hug her family. She wanted to win it here. Everything she accomplished in Tennessee, everything in L.A., everything internationally, and she wanted to make sure to do it here in Chicago. And it was fantastic. And it got me into the Sky more than I have ever had been. And, you know, they lost that overtime game in Game 2. But they crushed them in Game 3, and then you come from behind and win in Game 4. Congratulations to the Sky.
Amen.
That is my good. Boys, what's your good?
My good is going to go to Purdue, who beat number 2 Iowa, making Alabama back into the top 4. Purdue now has 9 wins against number 2 teams in the since the poll era started in 1936. So they're really good against top 2 teams as a dog and as
is that going to be your
team.
Bad too? Abdallah, are you going to is Iowa going to be your bad?
I mean, maybe. We'll see. Yeah. I got a lot of time to think
about it. I got a little
it.
Iowa on the brain
I got
too.
A lot of time to think about it. So yeah.
Black, you're good.
You know, there's a lot of good from the weekend, but how about this? A team that almost nobody in college football is talking about, the 10th ranked team in the country, Michigan State, they go to 7-0. They beat Indiana over the weekend 20-15. Mel Tucker, I think I've used Michigan State before as my good because they continue to surprise in the Big Ten.
Not sexy, but they get it
done.
No,
yeah. And Waddle, probably at the end of the day, they'll have 2 or 3 losses, but right now, it's pretty good.
What's your bad?
My bad is the Blackhawks.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Well, we can share
co-signing.
We can share it.
Damn, I
They lost
I'm
to the Devils
about that.
Friday in overtime, and they lost on Saturday 5-2 to the Penguins. They've given up 13 goals in their first 3 games. Right now, it's like, the hockey show's not happy with the hockey team.
Well, I mean, like, and if I could continue to, and I could take it in a different direction, but the season you wait all offseason for.
Yeah.
And then they poop right in the beginning with 3 straight games. In, like, each of the game, they have pooped in the beginning as well.
A lot
well.
Of pooping going
like,
on.
Like, you blink, and they're down, what?
And they're
like,
pooping.
4? They were down 4-0 on Saturday?
Yeah.
You know, in the opener, they were down 3-0 like this.
And you still want to know what Jeremy Colleton does?
Well, and then, okay, so here's where I'll take the bad, then. You're going to take the Hawks. I read some articles today that the locker room still believes in Jeremy Colleton. If you are going to your star players in the 3rd game of the season and you have to write an article that your team still believes in the coach, That's bad. What the hell are they supposed to say? Three games in. Look, the record, I think, for the Blackhawks is when they fired Dennis Savard after their fourth game. And they hired a capable head coach, who then they fired in Joel Quenneville, for this guy in Jeremy Colleton. I mean, really, you're writing that the locker room still believes in Jeremy Colleton three games in? If that doesn't speak volumes, I don't know what does.
I would ask the question, do you believe in your defenseman?
No, you haven't in 5 years, have you?
Yeah. 13 goals in three games. Let's get this thing pointing in the right direction, okay? So that the hockey show right here can all have our heads up.
Yeah.
Hold our heads high.
Abdallah, you want to take the Hawks too?
No, I'm going to take Ed Orgeron and LSU.
Oh, yeah.
There's an article on The Athletic about what has happened with Ed Orgeron the last couple of years since they won the national championship. I mean, and they have a weird separation agreement, but he still gets to stay there like he's my dad when my parents got divorced.
True.
I don't know what's going on, but it is
well,
awful.
Explain this to me. Explain for those who don't, what do you, in layman's terms?
In layman's terms, he had a title.
So your dad hung around while your parents separated and hung around.
Yeah, he lived in the house until he got an apartment.
Oh, Sylvie's talking about Orgeron at LSU.
No, basically, so after 6 weeks after they won the national championship, he got divorced, and there's a story in there about how he stopped at a gas station and was hitting on someone. She said she was married and pregnant. It happened to be a member of the LSU staff or the boosters or something, and it got back to that guy. And then also there was a Title IX scandal. He had a couple scandals where there were allegations from his players of sexual assault and sexual abuse, and
what?
They covered it up.
Yeah,
and also they've lost a ton of games. That too. That was
that's the cherry on the sundae, isn't it?
If you read
college football,
they basically were cool with everything until he started losing a bunch of games. Yes.
Most college programs are
exactly.
Yeah. Most programs.
Oh boy.
Are. Yeah. Black, you're bad.
You know, and Abdallah is, we on Chicago's College Tailgate, we said in the first show this season, watch out for Orgeron on the hot seat. So it's something we've been covering on the show. I'm going to go with another college football angle. Did you guys see the ending of Ole Miss in Tennessee and Rocky Top in Knoxville, Tennessee? They were throwing everything at Lane Kiffin on the sidelines.
By the way, Chris, did you see Lane with the grab of the water bottle at the end?
Yes.
Oh, that was sweet.
Someone threw a golf ball at him. He picked it up, took it with him. Rocky Top, your team stinks. You're my bad.
There was a bottle of mustard on the field.
Yes, a bottle of mustard.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Bottle of
mustard. Oh, yeah, there's a bottle of mustard on the field.
Yeah, they were just tossing everything at Ole Miss.
Random.
Unbelievable.
Good old Rocky Top. Had some mustard.
What's your dirty? Mustard on the field?
No, my dirty is, I'm going back to what Abdallah mentioned, the Iowa. They lost at home 24-7 to a 3-2 Purdue team, and Adam gave you the numbers, it's a team that has actually done some good things against number two ranked teams in the country. Their quarterback was intercepted four times. They had 271 yards of total offense at home. That's as embarrassing a loss. Sorry, Danny Lynch, he's looking at me right now, but that's as embarrassing a loss as you'll see in college football for a top team. Am I right, guys?
You are totally correct.
It doesn't get worse
than
that.
Iowa could not move the football at all. They were not even in the contest.
It's gross.
Yeah, they don't score a lot. Heather Dinich was saying it was just a matter of time until they lost to
I just tried to tell Danny that when we were in Vegas, but I didn't want to kill his buzz because his team had just beaten Penn State.
She was saying they're just number two in ranking.
Yes.
They're not the second best team or a top five team or anything like that. The boys know that. My dirty is this. You're not able to tackle in a football game, and a guy who is an analyst on a football show says that you must make the tackle, and you get all upset and you tweet about him missing tackles. I thought everything Lance Briggs did yesterday was fair. Waddle pointed it out. He didn't take cheap shots.
Nope.
Lance Briggs, who is a paid football analyst, who said Eddie Jackson is the last line of defense. You must make that tackle. You just can't throw your shoulder at him and hope that he stumbles. And Devontae Adams picked up another 20 yards after he was contacted by Eddie. And we've seen this at least once a game, almost every game this year, and going back to the last couple of years. It's dirty the way Eddie Jackson's been playing football. I loved him in 18. I really did. I wanted to believe he wasn't Nathan Vasher. But there is nothing that is shown from Eddie Jackson that he's not just a flash in the pan. It has been. And a guy who now is becoming unlikable besides his bad football play.
Real quick, can I add this as well? Because I was going to say this and I forgot. It's not Eddie Jackson. But Jalen Johnson went through something yesterday that I think ultimately will be great for his growth as a player. He was out there. He was basically Devontae Adams got the best of him. And he's a young player. He's a fantastic player. But I think yesterday is an example of something that a lot of young players have to go through. And they're climbed to the top of the mountain.
It's not just Justin Fields who's growing.
Yes.
Guys like that can learn from stuff like
no
that.
No question.
What do you guys have to wrap us up?
Can we turn off that damn siren? At this point, it's so annoying.
Third down noise. What do you mean, third down noise?
It's on first down. It's on second down.
They do play it on every down.
Yeah. It's so annoying. Yeah.
What are the most obnoxious? I want to ask you guys this because I want to know, Adam, from what we experienced in Vegas, like what are the obnoxious things that stadiums do on third down? And do the Bears have the most obnoxious in the air raid siren?
I think they do for sure. You're talking about the Raiders, like that thing?
That thing, and then
It's
third down.
Yeah, but they get a buffer to do that, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was a PA
it's
guy.
It's not as
who
bad
it.
As an air raid siren.
And then they play rock music under it with a guy yelling, it's third down. And
that damn horn in Minnesota is pretty annoying, too.
That is probably the most annoying thing, yes. The horn. I'll give you that.
I dislike the horn, go, Pack, go. Bow, 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 bow. Go, Pack, go. I hate that. Yeah.
That's so disrespectful, Chris.
No.
They are so disrespectful to
kick
us.
Rocks. Kick rocks.
Black dirty.
How about this? The Browns not going to show up for the second half against the Cardinals. Waddle, you said that the Cardinals are good. I agree with you. They're probably the best team in the NFL right now. Yeah. But Cleveland's supposed to be a contending team, and you're 3-3, and you lose like that at home. That's dirty.
Yeah. Is Myles Garrett putting a gravestone of
himself? he's got his own. He put his own front yard. Yeah.
No Kyler Murray gravestone. All right, we'll continue to take your phone calls. What did you think of yesterday against the Packers? And then what's going to happen here? Can they continue to dominate and nothing happens? There's an example that really ticked me off from George McCaskey, and we got a new letters from George today, too.
Fantastic.
Did you hear it?
I have not.
Why don't we play it next for you and take more of your phone calls? We're live at Findlay Dunn's. It's brought to you by Miller Lite.